Hi there, and thank you for visiting agrradio.org. We trust and pray that these resource materials will bless you as you take the time to join us in the teaching ministry of Pastor Chris Gordon. What you're about to hear on this specific audio file is a message that was delivered by Pastor Chris at Escondido United Reformed Church and subsequently aired here on Abounding Grace Radio. You're listening to not just the radio broadcast, but the sermon in its entirety. We trust and pray that this is a blessing to you as you continue to visit and enjoy the ministry of Abounding Grace Radio. Taking a turn and just shifting gears a bit, because the pulpit ministry from Escondido URC is predominantly book by book. I mean, we go chapter by chapter for the most part, book by book. We seldom get the opportunity to dive into unique series or unique topics. And there are so many, but I can't help but think that one of those main topics that really challenge most Americans today, at least, well, obviously worldwide, but that would be the family.
Mm-hmm.
They say as the family goes, so goes the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that, aren't we? I mean, the downgrade of marriage, the abandonment of our kids emotionally, spiritually. I mean, sure, we're there. We provide a room for them. We provide food. And then we provide their electronics and they're gone.
Right.
You know, as I've put it in the past, the generation before us or the generation before this one, we called them latchkey kids.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, they're ass-key kids, you know, zeros and ones, and they're in front of their computers or their devices, and they're just gone. I mean, obviously, where do we start with a topic like this? But I guess with our marriages, I mean, they are in dire straits these days, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a all-out assault by the evil one on the structure and the institution of the family.
Yeah.
And I mean, he knows what he's doing. If he can disrupt this institution, you collapse all of society.
Yeah.
And there has been systemic efforts to do this in society. So you see the influence of demonic powers in the decisions that are made politically. We see this.
Yeah.
I don't see how you can deny that. You know, the way of trying to overturn marriage, I think what you'll see in the coming years is, in light of what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4, there will be a characteristic of a time where people will just stop and refuse to marry.
Yeah.
I think marriage is on the outs.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing, the next wave will be the axing off of marriage. A great revolt against the whole institution.
Yeah.
So, which is where the family comes from, right?
Right.
So, you know, yes, we have seen this and we have a whole host of challenges coming at us with regard to the family. And it's not been easy to navigate, for you're absolutely right. It also deeply affects the church if you don't have solid, stable families of loving fathers and mothers raising children in godly fear of the Lord. This is going to wreak havoc on the church.
This goes back to Genesis, doesn't it? I mean, Adam and Eve are created. God institutes marriage. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father. And then the very next thing is be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are being assaulted on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And not just in America, but you see it pandemically in Europe. You know, it is all over.
Mm-hmm.
What can be done? I mean, for us at least, I mean, we've got to start somewhere. So
yeah,
for us
Christians
at least,
are going to have to wake up. I mean, do some of the most fundamental basic things. And you're right. This is overwhelming. Where do you begin? Satan comes into the garden. The first thing he did was basically cause a divorce.
Yeah.
He worked hard to separate Adam and Eve. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he created a great division. I mean, just think of the blame game that took place afterward. You know,
right.
This is the woman's fault.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know.
The one you gave me.
Yeah. And, you know, she blames, you know, she blames the serpent. So ultimately God's getting blamed for everything that's happening there. But, there's so many dynamics to this, Andy. It's hard to know where to begin. You know, at the most fundamental level, we need to recover marriage as God designed it, right, in its good design. That we have to tell people what God put in place is for the good of society. Us tampering with it, doing what we did in 2015 to try to redefine it, all these kind of things, are for the harm of society. And that's what we're seeing. The casualty are the children. The casualty are the children. They are wandering. They're lost. They're sitting in front of computer screens all day long. Your parents are pretty checked out. They're not willing to even address these things. At the most fundamental level, you know, not only does marriage need to be recovered so that husbands and wives are lovingly devoted to each other in the fear of the Lord, that are servants to one another, understanding the great calling that the Lord gave us as husbands and wives to model something that is a very great mystery, the love of Christ has for his church. There's a great witness in this whole thing. But that basic calling of loving one another in marriage and modeling that to our children is sort of number one here. Holding marriage in high regard, demonstrating the kind of love that this was designed to have. Obviously, none of this will happen apart from the gospel, apart from the work of the Lord to renew us and to help us in this. Obviously, marriage is a common institution that all people enjoy, but there's a sanctifying influence as we are brought into the visible Holy Church as Christians, that there's even a great witness in marriage. You know, think of the love which with we were taught. Jesus taught us. It's not that there's a new, remember we talked about a new commandment I give you, that you love. What he was speaking of there is not that there wasn't love before and called the call in marriage to love. It was that Jesus taught us what sacrificial love looks like.
Right.
He's emphasizing that. So our marriages have to, again, think carefully about in our marriages what sacrificial love is intended to be, what agape love is. But then also with regard to the children, we have to do some of the most basic things of getting around the table again.
Yeah.
I mean, reading the scriptures together, praying, singing together. How many people listening, Christians listening to this episode, sing anymore with their children? That's a scary thought. So we think singing is confined to the church. You know, and I'm not even as faithful in this as I should be. But getting around the table has been important to me because I know in the midst of all these challenges with sports, being pulled away this way and that way, one of the greatest detrimental things is that we are not gathering as families anymore and having communion and fellowship. Children need that. And it's so important on some of these basic things that we start thinking through. What is the family supposed to look like? What is it supposed to accomplish? What is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
We're going back to the beginning.
Our children are, you know, and there is a challenge, and maybe we can talk about that in a minute, in that I'm seeing moms uniquely and specifically placing their children as a priority over their husbands and just turning things upside down. Thinking that, it's all about the kids, and really what you do is you challenge your kids, at least on what marriage looks like, and that's another story. But how much have we relegated babysitting to tablets and phones?
Well, before I answer that, I'm gonna start with where you started, because you raise a really good point about what you're essentially describing is the cult of the child.
Right. Focus on the family. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean the cult of the child, where we have made children the center of our existence.
Sports.
Yeah. And, you know, we tend to think that running around to every single event and just being there and doing everything to be there for our children is good parenting. This is going to shock some people. That's not necessarily good parenting. Now, there's the parent who never went to any event of their child, and that's not right either. What I'm saying here is that there's this sense of the child is so the center of everything of our existence that good parenting means that we put them at the center of everything that we do. And the reality is they need to be taught they're not the center. This is really important. They are not the center. As basic as, you know, anymore, when you're talking to another adult and your child comes up and interrupts, how often do you ever see a parent now tell the child, no, I'm talking here? It's like, no, everything stops for the child. This is not good parenting. This is not helpful parenting. I think I read an article one time that said, parents, it's okay if you miss an event. It's okay if you teach your child they're not the center. We have erred on this so extreme of the cult of the child that it's done great down, and we've created a generation of narcissists.
Oh,
so
the whole woke, I demand to be heard mentality that we're seeing in the 20-somethings and the teens.
Right. The narcissism's off the charts. Oh. Everything's about me. Everything's about, and you know, then we get to the issue of the screen, where they are, with no parental oversight, absorbed into this world that has tried to, how do I say this, picture for them who they are supposed to be, right, creating an image for them that they are to achieve. So everything is so focused on them, on their advancement, on their look, on their whatever it might be, that it has absorbed them into this artificial atmosphere that they're not able to function now outside of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many dynamics to this. There's been books written on this point, but the screen has done untold damage, and it has to be regulated. It has to be regulated today. Parents have a solemn responsibility to oversee the technology of their children. And I'm not saying that's easy. Mm. I mean, we fought that battle in our own home. It's very difficult, but we fought the battle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're in the fight.
you and I are of the age to where we can look back and go, okay, well, our parents, they didn't really fight the battle. It wasn't a battle. It didn't exist.
Well, and I think there's so much to say here. Fighting that battle is important. There's going to be times where your children are going to be very unhappy with you.
Oh, very.
I have to say this. It seems like this is just not rocket science. But, you know, it's okay to tell your child no. It's okay for them to be frustrated because you said no. It's okay for them to have to deal with that parental authority. That parental authority should not be abusive. It should not be heavy-handed. It should be demonstrated and done with great love and care for them that they see that. But if they're rejecting that in the early ages, that's exactly what parenting is, to try to course correct.
Yes.
We have to course correct. That's our job. Nobody said course correction's easy. Just try it in your own life. This is why we have parents, right?
Yeah.
So we have to make these valiant efforts to do this. This is our calling as parents, and to stop putting them at the center of everything. That's healthy for them.
Yeah.
That's healthy for them to see that at this point in life, they are to be more silent observers of parents, learning from them, instead of dominating their sphere.
Yeah. It sets them up and prepares them for a godly life as a Christian.
Right.
As they grow up and go old.
Right.
How can you, as a Christian, live a self-centered life? I mean, we train our kids that it's the center of the universe is them. Their narcissistic arrogance follows them into old age. That, boy, they come to faith in Christ, the challenges that presents.
Yeah, if you look at, coming back to the internet, if you look at the ideologies that come out then, the groupthink.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal. There's a groupthink out there, and then what happens is when they're pulled into these ideas from the internet and their you know, peers and friends, they begin to push these ungodly norms on parents, and parents feel hamstrung.
Yeah.
To address this, they don't. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I think the first thing to do is to, you know, and even if you haven't started early, and all of us as parents will make failures along the way, we can all look back and say, "Well, I failed." You are always a parent, no matter how bad the failings have been. you are a parent today and you can start fresh today. Yeah. So one of the crucial things we have to say to our children is, no, I'm not supporting you in a sinful choice.
Yeah.
I'm not supporting a sinful lifestyle. I'm not supporting what you are pushing on me. That will not happen. And our children, as they see that and know that, the less apt they will be to do this. Our children should know from us that if they're trying to push something on us, they know they're going to get nowhere. That's important.
Yeah.
They're not going to get anywhere with this.
Yeah.
Because we are principled and loving in our approach, and we're not kowtowing to it.
Right.
So, you know, that kind of lovingly firm hand is exactly what children need. They need boundaries. Boundaries are exactly what the law of God gives us.
Yeah.
You know, that people think Christianity is this restrictive thing. And so children will often view their parents this way as just restricting their freedom.
Yeah.
And parents wrestle with this. They wrestle with, how do I handle this? How do I deal with this? I don't want to be that way. No, boundaries are exactly what the Lord put in place for us as human beings. Without those boundaries, when we waver outside of those boundaries, that's not freedom, that's bondage.
Yeah.
So we're keeping them from self-inflicted bondage.
Yeah.
That's very important. Your child may not like you today, but when they've matured and grown up, they will thank you.
It's not about
that's
today,
okay.
It's about tomorrow.
Yeah, you're investing in the future of your child yeah. in the way that you parent today.
Yeah, I remember telling my wife at one point, we were watching this little four-year-old throw a tantrum, and who hasn't seen this? You know, they're in the candy aisle at the supermarket, and mom said no to the candy, and so they're on the floor screaming and kicking, right?
Yeah.
And my wife,
I have a story on this, so keep going.
My wife looks at the child and says, "Oh, that's poor child." I said, "I don't see a 4-year-old throwing a tantrum. I see a 19-year-old living in mom and dad's basement who can't handle a relationship." And can't do a job because they got away with it at 4. I mean, from my perspective, I'm looking at my kids, and I may have an 11-year-old in front of me, but I'm looking at a 22-year-old going, how are you going to live?
So this is a really important point. I was at the airport one time, and my wife and I were there, and this child was rolling around on the airport floor, screaming and throwing a tantrum. And we watched the mom, and the mom is. You know, oh, please stop. Oh, you're yeah. embarrassed. Please stop. Now, here's the problem with that. That's the end. That's already the end of a problem. That's not the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, without sounding arrogant here, our children should know from the get-go, my mom is not going to put up with that. So,
you can't negotiate with sin. You can't compromise with sins.
Yeah. So when you've already got to that kind of point, somehow you've got to, you have to restart here, reprogram.
Control, alt, delete.
Yeah. And start over, because the child has no sense of boundary. And to fall apart, and this is where I think, again, I'm trying to be kind here. I want this to be helpful to people. So, you know, we all are going to make our mistakes, but you know, to sort of fall apart in the moment like that. And cause then typically what happens is the parent becomes incredibly frustrated, anger arises, and the worst kind of parenting then comes out at that point, even abusive response.
Yeah.
That's not good parenting. Mm-hmm. The parenting takes place from the beginning, and it works to shape the child in a way that promotes godly discipline, promotes those boundaries that are healthy, so that the child knows as he's growing and maturing, I'm not to cross those boundaries.
Yeah.
But already with that child rolling around, my guess is that that has been normative to all of life. And what that created was a parent pulling out her hair left and right who can't really relate to their child.
Yeah.
They can't engage that child. So they're complaining probably about that to everyone else. I just don't know what to do. And there's got to be a reboot here.
Yeah.
But hopefully that helps, this conversation helps parents to think about the importance of those boundaries and godly discipline from the beginning, so that those, what we call licentious moments,
yeah,
you know, are curbed right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And this is going to make your parenting happy.
To quote Barney Fife, nip it in the bud.
Yeah, there's got to be strength here.
Yes, there has.
There has to be
leadership.
Leadership. Again, that's loving leadership.
Yeah.
It doesn't. These
parenting.
Things aren't mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
To be firm and to promote godly discipline does not mean that that's not loving.
Right.
We say that is loving.
It very. Yeah.
Yeah.
No discipline seems good at the moment.
Right. The Lord disciplines us.
Yeah.
And we need it.
But it yields its fruit.
It yields its fruit.
Yeah.
And afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness of those who've been trained by it. Trained is very important.
Well,
there's that verse, Andy, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Okay. That verse has been abused.
Abused.
It's
massively.
Been abused. And it's not an axiomatic sort of given.
Yeah.
That, in other words, that if I just do this, here's the result.
If A, then B.
If A, then B. Yeah. It's not a sort of syllogism here. But it is a general rule. It is a general truth.
Well,
that
and it's a truth that goes both ways. You train up a child in bad ways, they'll grow up in a bad way.
Yeah. So these are general wisdom proverbs.
Right.
And it's absolutely true that when we put in the effort to train up our child in a godly way, you may not see that fruit till later in life.
Yeah.
But generally, you're going to see that play out.
Yeah.
As they grow, as they mature, a lot of it you're dealing with maturity. You may have a stubborn teen. You may have a 20-something that's really struggling with life right now. But the way you have invested to train them in the scriptures, to fill their minds with the truth, even catechize the mind, to train them that way, it will pay dividends. I believe that.
Yeah. With just about a minute or so to go before we close out the program, the importance to our kids to see a healthy mom and dad relationship. Let's close out the program with just a quick thought, bringing it back to that.
Yeah.
Why is that so important for our kids?
Because, such a good question, a great place to end. Our children, number one, number one is because this brings glory to God. Well, that has to be, there's a great telos, what we call end or goal or purpose to this. And our marriages, we should love our spouses and love them in such a way that we are honoring the Lord who blessed us in this institution, number one. Number two, there's a witness in it. And that witness is yes, it's to society. I mean, today, if you remain married and, you stay the course and you love your spouse and you love your family, you and I both know you're doing something that the vast majority of the world is not doing right now. What a witness.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to see people married 60 years. It's wonderful. That's not to say if people have been divorced and, there have been certain extenuating circumstances that's happened. Listen, again, today is the day of grace. Today's a new day. You know, love your spouse the way that you're called to love your spouse. But might I just kind of focus it in a little tighter? What a witness to your children. They need to see, apart from all the discord, separation, division, fighting, goes on every day in their life, and they need to see the loving nurture of parents, number one, who love one another. That is one of your greatest witnesses and helps to them. Show them that. It's huge.